Okay, thank you everybody for coming out this evening. Julian, could you give us a roll call, please?
Yes, Vice President Sasena, Director Ketchel,
here.
Director Ohilski?
Present.
President Forcroy?
I'm here.
Director Womack?
Present.
Okay, our first order of business tonight is a public hearing about our Prop 218 that's going on. So I'm going to open the public hearing and like to look at our staff report.
This slide. Yeah. Great, thank you very much. It's nice to see people turn out for the meeting. What we're considering tonight is the rate increase that we have discussed over a period of time. If you want to go to the next slide, please. In a quick review of where we've been, we started back in February with our Utility Advisory Committee for review and input, moved on to the Finance Advisory Committee later in February, then the first preview to the board in March, which we took input at that time. Then we did follow up with the committees again, went back for tentative approval, by the board in April, which was the approval to put out our Prop 218 notice, which is required by California law, and that we have to have those out at least 45 days prior to the public hearing, which we did, which is now tonight. If approved, the effective date for the rate increase would be July 1st. Next slide, please. This is what we're proposing. seems to happen this time of day. We have modest increases over a three-year period. As you can see in this slide, it shows what our current rates are and how they'll escalate over that period of time. If you go to the next slide, please. This is the impact to the average customer that in our service area is 11 units of water over a two-month billing cycle. That's 60 days. We see a $6.40 increase or a 4.3% increase that first year, and then it goes down to a more modest $3.85, which is about a 2.5% increase, and then further down to $3.55, which is about a 2.25%. for a cumulative total of $13.80 increase for that average customer over a three-year period. And as you know, we had built in this revenue will make us whole not only for our operations with an inflationary factor built in, but it also provides adequate revenue to do our capital projects, which are very, very important to the district. This is capital projects are replacement of pipes, the drilling of our new program Seawell, the rehabilitation of our tanks. So there's we have a five-year capital plan, and this rate increase will help fund the first 3 years of that capital plan. And with that, I think, next slide, please. I think that was the next steps. We'll take our public comment here in just a moment. And at the time, people are still eligible to file a protest until we close the public comment. Once we do close the public comment, then the board will announce the tabulation of protests, and then the board will then make their decision on the rate increase. Next slide. And with that, we'll move on to the public comment period.
Okay, thanks, Ron. I'd like to open our meeting for public comment. I'll let Julian set the ground rules.
If you'd like to make a comment online, please raise your hand and in person come up to the podium. We have no comments online.
You please come to the podium up here.
And also please state your name for the record.
My name is Pam Logan, and I live over on Willow Drive. And two questions I have. I understand that there is some talk about putting those large properties over there on public water. I'd like to know what the process of that, where that is, and also where is the sea well that is proposed to be drilled. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comment. We'll gather all the questions and then we'll answer all of them at the end. Is there any additional public comment?
Nothing online.
Okay. Ron, can you address those two?
Yes. There's really no plan to have people, I assume, over on the east side of South Bay Boulevard put on public water systems. That's in the Golden State Water Company service area. But I have not heard of any plans for them to expand that unless it's requested, possibly. That's what I know about that. And the program Seawell is located on the very south end of South Bay Boulevard at Bay Oaks Drive. If you go past the Van Buren office buildings on South Bay, it's on the corner of Bay Oaks and South Bay Boulevard. It's all one aquifer here in Los Osos. So all the wells and all of Los Osos are on the same aquifer.
Okay, thank you, Ron. So seeing no other, okay, so if you want to do one more public comment, please come to the podium.
My name is Charlotte Sunshine, and are you all on salary here? Is there a base salary, or do you get increases yearly? Give me an idea how this works.
Okay, thank you for that public comment. Okay, at this time, I'm going to close public comment and close the public hearing.
If you'd like, I can provide you with that information. Basically, on this group, we have the board of directors that are elected, and they get a stipend per meeting. And then myself and Julian, our administrative services manager, are employees of the district. That's up to the board of directors, the elected officials here.
Is it the same amount of increase that they asked for here?
It's all been factored into this rate increase.
Okay, because a lot of people are on a salary that doesn't seem to be going up, and yet everything in their lives is going up.
Okay, thank you for your comments. I would just say that later in this meeting, we have our budget review, and it's a great time to see where all the money is and going to. Okay, with that, our public hearing is closed, which means that we're not accepting any more written protests.
Correct.
So at this time, can staff please tabulate the number of protests?
Yes, we received 174 protests, and there were two others that were duplicates from the same parcel. So 174 official protests that were counted.
Okay.
Next slide, please.
Okay, with that, I'm going to bring this discussion back to the board for discussion on this and or a motion for moving forward.
I first of all apologize for arriving late, and maybe what I'm going to say has already been said, but to address your comments, ma'am, Ms. Sunshine, three years ago, there was a rate increase that had been approved by the lack of a protest vote, the third of three. And at that point, the district had met our revenue targets, and we decided not to take that increase, that third increase. So we don't do this kind of thing without regard to, one, the need overall, and two, the impact that it has on our customers. And so, as I think Ron coined the phrase, the new increase is really an old increase.
Right.
And it's probably been said before, but we take this very seriously. And with that, if there's no further discussion from the board, I move that the board adopt resolution 2022-15 approving a water rate increase, which will become effective according to law.
I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Vice President Sasena.
Yes.
Director Getchell.
Yes.
Director Ohilski.
Yes.
President Forkroy?
Yes.
Director Womack?
Yes.
Okay, that resolution passes unanimously. Thank you also to all the work that Ron and Julian and Laura had done on this. And then also our water rate working group, Richard and Rob and Ron, thank you very much for all the time that you put into this study. That was amazing to have that level of detail to make good decisions with.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to our second public hearing of the evening. Our fiscal year 2022-23 preliminary budget review.
Yes, and this will be our final. I keep it preliminary until it is adopted. So you are looking at our final budget. Again, this is similar to the water rate process that we went through. We've run this through all of our committees a couple of times. The board has had a chance to make their comments. We took comments from the May 5th meeting, which I have indicated in the staff report, and I'll indicate on the slides if any changes have been made. But I do encourage people to ask questions along the way. So next slide, please. I want to emphasize that the budget supports our work plans that we've developed for each of our committees. And that it also continues to implement the district reserve policies, provides for ongoing operations of the district functions in a fiscally responsible manner. And it also has the planning features in it for future expenditure needs of the district. And I do want to thank everyone on our staff. This is a team effort that everyone puts a lot of work into, especially in the water fund. So, Margaret and the water crew, Laura was instrumental in a lot of that as well. So I want to thank the whole team here at the district. Next slide, please. So we'll jump right in. As you remember, on May 5th, the board decided this cost allocation for the Zone A property tax money. We have about $182,400 that we can allocate to various funds. We did 67.3% for fire, 17.7% for water, and 15% for parks and rec. Next slide, please. So we'll go through each one. For administration, we really made no changes from the May 5th meeting. If you recall, most of the increases were personnel related as we changed the salary schedule for the administrative services manager based on having the assignment of solid waste services and the increased responsibility there. And there's also some costs associated for the board election in November. Next slide, please. Overall personnel increases were about $33,700. Services and supplies went up a little over $18,000, but most of that was for the election cost. Next slide. And here's my summary slide. That indicates where we're seeing the increases, but we have to understand there is added revenue from solid waste fund 650 that helps offset these costs. If there are any questions, I'll keep moving on here. Fund 200, really no changes. We did the decrease in the cost allocation from 0.5 to 0.25, which will should be appreciated by the neighborhood up there that pays into that. Next slide. And this shows the decrease that they will see in their property tax assessments. Next slide. Fire, the only change was the 67.3% increase in the Zone A money, which it was about $190,000, a significant amount of money. Next slide, please. There's a lot of other requests that we had built in, which we talked about last time, but the biggest change was for CAL FIRE. Why don't you go ahead and go to the next slide, which was reduced by almost $300,000, which brought down the services and supplies budget by quite a bit. But we did want to indicate that, you know, the overall service and supply budget did go up about $29,000. But we did have capital budget increase for a station assessment and the purchase of a utility truck. Next slide. So this is the summary slide for those, the result of all the changes that we made through the process. Next slide. Vista Day Oros, like Fund 200. Really the only change here is the cost allocation, which went down. And they're also going to pay off their interfund loan to Fund 500, which will then knock their revenue or expenditure requirements way down. Go ahead and next slide. You can see the drop that they'll see, you know, with the budget expenditures down to 5,000 and the total revenue at around 6,000. That's a significant decrease for them from last year. Next slide. Water, really the only thing is we, you know, solidified what we were going to give water in terms of Zone A money, which is approximately $50,000. Excuse me, go to the next slide. We did have the MOU, which the board approved on May 5th with SLOSIA for our general employees. We did a slight increase for the utility services manager position, and we have a pretty hefty capital outlay with the program CWELL project continuing. Next slide, please. As you can see, that it was about 5.25% for the SLOSIA MOU. We did some other increases that increased personnel costs by about 10% or $76,000. Next slide. But we were able to reduce service and supply budget by about $52,000. So even though there's a net increase, it's not as much as it would be without those reductions. Capital improvements, why don't you go to the next slide. This one's kind of hard to see, but on the bottom portion there, you can see we have about $1.4 million for the program CWELL, about $500,000 for the rehab of the North 16th Street tank, and then we're doing a heavy equipment storage structure that will probably go up. Costs just continue to rise, but we have budgeted $50,000 for that. But we did complete quite a few construction projects this year. So I think finally on that is the summary slide, which shows the increase in personnel costs, decrease in services and supplies. I could drink some water here. We did see the transfers go down with a decrease allocation that the board approved on May 5th. And I believe when you take the whole net amount, the overall budget increase, really, it wasn't that much. We tried to keep it, hold it steady so the rate increase would cover exactly what we had projected for the budget. Sorry, go ahead. Wastewater, there's really no changes. It's really just a slight increase from MBAs in or slight decrease by MBS for the property tax assessments and a slight increase by US Bank on their service charge. Next slide. Again, that reflects the changes. Next slide. We had no changes in the solid waste budget. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And again, this is a new budget, so we had to do a lot of estimations. We're pulling personnel and rent and utility costs as a transfer amount, which helped offset some of those costs in our admin budget. But we did try to estimate legal and professional services and other costs during, but we'll look at that again at mid-year. Next slide. The budget amount at right now it would be about $211,000, but this includes the $120,000 payment we must make to the county annually for the next 10 years. Next slide. And so as you can see, our estimated revenue is about $245,000, and that may go up or will go up, but we will have reserve monies there for other programs and services as the year progresses. Next slide is drainage. No changes, really minor increases in personnel costs from the SLOSIA MOU and in fuel. Next slide. And again, reflects those changes mentioned. Next slide is Parks and Rec. The only change is that 15%, which equates to the $42,300. Next slide on that one. We are continuing to work on the dog park. The conceptual plan is wrapped up. And we're going to try to move into the design phase, which will range between $82,000 to $85,000. The board allocated the $42,000. So we're going to try to do the timing of that so we can have overlap into the next fiscal year. So we can get that $82,000 to $85,000 covered, maybe from zoning money, but that'll be a board decision when the time comes. Next slide, I think, go ahead and go to the next one. I did want to mention again how this went through committees, finance advisory on May 2nd and 31st, utilities on April 20th and May 18th, and we did distribute this to the Emergency Services Advisory Committee for comments, which we received none. And with that, I can answer any questions. Go to the next slide. By the board and the public.
Yeah, okay. Bring it back to the board. Does anybody have any questions for Ron?
The Fund 300 Schedule A charges dropped a couple hundred thousand dollars.
Almost 300.
I wish we had that kind of luck everywhere.
Yeah.
Any guesses, reason for that?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Trying to schedule a meeting to talk about that.
Whatever they're doing, let's keep. I don't know what to say. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to open this item for a public comment.
If you'd like to make a comment online, please raise your hand and in person come up to the podium. We have no comments online at this time.
Good evening. My name is Andrea Luker. I'm a 30-year resident of Los Osos. And first and foremost, I'd like to compliment you on your budget document. What an outstanding document. It's easy to read, easy to digest. I wish there were some pictures, but other than that, it's great. I wanted to talk on two quick things within the budget. Fund 100, I know that you funded the additional money for the administrative services manager a couple of meetings ago, and I just want to say thumbs up on that. Really important to be able to retain, first of all, get great staff and then retain them. So I think that's a great move. And I think it's important. I'm glad you did that. I did listen to your May meeting. I was at home, so I didn't call in, and I was hoping that the dog park was going to be funded in totality. But I did hear a little bit of discussion, I think, on that meeting, or I made it up in my head, that you would consider maybe at mid-year, depending on where we are, funding additional funds for that project if we're that far down the road. So I just want to say that I think it's great to get some funding. I hope that we're so far down the road at mid-year that we get additional funding and your board approves that. But other than that, nice work, and I'm sure you're going to adopt your budget tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Okay, I don't see any other public comment, none online. Okay, I'll bring it back to the board for further discussion or a motion if we're ready.
We just had one comment, I guess. We mentioned earlier in the rate hike about the inflation piece and calculating in for the public. I believe when we discussed that in March, it was a 4% factor of inflation to our expenses. So because that's just, it's hard to predict what that's going to be. So it's just something that we, inflation's in top of mind. I think a lot of people, now we're going to keep track of that.
Right. And we explained, we knew we're going to have to really watch revenue for the next, 3 years because of that inflation factor and the uncertainty of water sales with drought. So we'll be tracking that closely.
Okay, thanks for that comment. Is anybody ready to make a motion?
I'll do it. I move that the board adopt resolution 2022-16, approving the fiscal year 2022-2023 final budget.
I'll second.
Okay, this has been moved and seconded. Is there any further debate? Seeing none, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. Vice President Sassena?
Yes.
Director Gottschall?
Yes.
Director O'Hills?
Yes.
President Corcoran?
Yes.
Director Roman?
Yes. So I think usually you call the directors first and vice president second to last and president last.
Oh. I thought it was according to who made the motion, who seconded
who made the motion is first, who seconded is next.
And then, through the rest.
And then
typically, that's tradition. Is that in Robert's rules?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, my apologies. Thank you for correcting me.
Okay, thank you. Our resolution.
We'll get you through it. Don't worry.
Yeah. Our resolution is adopted. We're going to move on to our next agenda item, which is, of course, public comment for items not on the agenda. Does anybody have any public comments for items not on this agenda?
If you'd like to make a public comment online, please raise your hand or come up to the podium in person. No comments online at this time.
Okay, got one.
Richard Margetson. This is a comment I should have made years ago. I'm embarrassed for myself. Week and a half ago in Uvalde, Texas, 19 children were killed by an 18-year-old with an assault weapon. An 18-year-old walked in, bought an assault weapon, 3 days later bought 36 rounds, a couple days later went in and bought another assault weapon. The reason I'm embarrassed is this has been happening for decades. We never had this when we were kids. Nobody got shot in the schools when we were in school. The worst thing happened was you hit the girl in the front row with a spitball and you got sent to the principal's office. I come tonight, this issue with Uvalde, I don't know why it has sparked so much outrage from my friends across the country, but I have gotten calls for the last week from people that I haven't talked to in years, that I've known forever, but I just haven't talked to. And we all decided we got to do something. What I'm asking, and I probably won't go anywhere, is could the board consider writing a letter to the Senate asking them to do something? I'm all for the Second Amendment, but do something. You know, there's big excitement in Washington right now because Cornyn and Murphy are talking. Nothing's going to come of it. We're being held hostage by 50 senators and the NRA. It's easier to get an assault weapon than it is a liquor license in this country. This country is 4% of the world population, and we own privately 46% of the guns in the world. 4% of the population owns 46% of the privately held weapons in the world. And we can't do anything. We can't get to the next step. I'm not saying ban them. I'm not saying take people's guns away. And that's all you hear. Once you want to make an attempt in one direction, the NRA is, oh, they're after our guns. We have to do something. Oh, let's arm the teachers. Oh, yeah. Let's arm the teachers. And when that doesn't work, then what are we going to do? Arm the students? You're going to go to gym class, music class, and the firing range today before you go to history class. I would hope that the board would consider doing this. It's easy to get the can I just finish this? I will. It's easy to get the email addresses or the addresses of the senators in Washington. I would hope we would do something. I'm going to the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday to ask the same thing. But the outrage that I've heard from my friends across the country, enough is enough. Enough is enough.
Do we have any further public comment for items not on the agenda?
No, nothing online.
Okay. I'm going to move us into administrative and committee reports, starting with the fire department. Do we have the chief on the internet?
Yes, just give me one moment to give him access.
Am I good to go?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, perfect. I have no camera, so that won't work. All right. Well, good evening. And I'll go ahead and run through my report real quick. So for the reporting period, we had a... Let me switch screens here. I'm sorry. We had 152 calls between April 22nd and May 21st. 81 medical aids, 29 traffic collisions, 5 incidents reported as fire, 5 as hazardous conditions, 26 public service assist, 5 false alarms, and company 15 was called to cover their station 3 times for the reporting period. A significant call in the area. We respond to a residential structure fire in 1,000 block of Al Sereno on May 23rd. One person was transported to the hospital. The structure sustained some interior damage. No adjacent properties were damaged. As far as special programs and projects, the station's been able to get through the first round of vacant lot inspections in the area. So letters will be going out here shortly. And then after 30 days of receipt of those, we'll be going through and doing the secondaries. The Fire Safe Council, working with Cal Fire in the district, we held a chipping event on the 28th. It wasn't very well attended, possibly because of the holiday weekend, but we will be having another one June 25th. We'll have everything set up over off of Fairchild. Los Olivos, all you got to do is pull up with your dump trailer or your pickup truck and they'll offload it for you and blow out your vehicle for you and chip it all up and haul it off. The Fire Safe Council and the Los Osos Focus Group have arranged a chipping event in the Bayview Heights and Bay Oaks neighborhoods during the month of June. In the report, there's a phone number that you can contact if you have material to be chipped. And if you have any additional information that you need, you can find it at facebook.com/groups/LOFEP. And that's the Los Osos focus group. And those folks are putting out additional information for that. Cal Fire San Luis has completed all their 4291 defensible space inspections in the state responsible areas. So essentially Cabrillo Estates, Bayview Heights, and Bay Oaks. If you had a violation, they would have provided you a notice. If you did not have a violation, you got no notice, and there was a zero contact on those. In the LRA, the local responsible area, which is specifically district responsibility for the defensible space inspections, we've been trying to get out and meet in the public in person. I'd say we're about... we're a little over halfway getting to the residents. The instructions I've given the crews is to work in from the outside perimeter and work their way in so that we can focus on the areas that are directly threatened by the wildland areas in the neighborhoods. Since this report came out, myself and Manager Munns, we met with Cal Fire and one of our crews to look at doing some fuels abatement areas over by the Oaks Preserve. Over by the Redwood Court area in the open space, and then also Lot 41 area, and potentially doing some work in those areas. So potentially you'll see some Cal Fire crews. There'll be crews that are partnered with the 3Cs in Cal Fire, so they will not be our Cuesta camps with our CDCR inmates. These will be free personnel that are part of the California Conservation Corps that'll be performing the work. End of report.
Okay, thanks, Chief. Does anybody else have any questions for fire department?
Not a question, just I'm glad to see chipping days coming back. We used to do that regularly. I didn't hear about the last one. So maybe as we ramp up the program, the word will get out and people will take advantage of that. It's a good program.
What's our day for that again?
The next one will be June 25th, and so it's going out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're using our public information officer to try to get all that information out, as well as using, I believe it's the Nextdoor app that's been going out on, and we're using the board report, obviously, and then possibly we can put something up on the marquee at the entrance of town on the way in, maybe a week before.
Okay, great. Thanks again. Okay, let's move on. Let's see. Do we have the sheriff online?
Yes, we have Sergeant Dowdy online.
Awesome.
Oh, hi there. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Hi there. Yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't be there in person today, but I do have the report. Hold on just a sec. Yes, for the Sheriff's Office for May, we had 66 calls for service, which was about on par with last year. We had 64, three calls for battery, 32 calls for disturbance, four calls for burglary, seven calls of theft, nine calls of vandalism, one mail theft. We had no phone scams and 18 suspicious circumstances. Of the non-calls for service, we did have 28 enforcement stops and 35 preventative patrol activities. We did have an uptick in vandalism. I don't know if it was conveyed at all, but there was some graffiti and some vandalism of the old schoolhouse by the Red Barn or near the skate park. And beyond that, though, we really had no major issues, at least in Los Osos this past month. One thing, this will be the last meeting that I will be here. I'm moving to another assignment. There will be a new sergeant, Sergeant John Penafor, who will be here in July. So that is all I have for our report.
Well, thank you very much. And thanks for serving here in Los Osos.
Oh, happy to do it.
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions for the sergeant? Okay, thanks again. Okay, moving on, we have our CHP report. I see we have.
You guys hear me?
Yep.
Perfect. Good evening, members of the board and members of the public. Thanks for having me tonight and those online. I'm Lieutenant Jason Grimm with the California Highway Patrol, and I'm here in the San Luis Obispo area. We have 9 incidents to report this month. The first, we have 2 DUIs, one on the 4th at 1:36 in the AM. It was on 14th Street at Santa Maria Avenue, and that person was double the legal limit. We have another DUI on 1:38 AM on the 7th, 11th Street at Santa Ynez. No BAC for that party yet. We had a DUI collision on the 7th. It was at Los Osos Valley Road in Turi. Non-injury, stole a vehicle into a tree. That was at 7:48 PM. We had our pursuit that ended with a DUI arrest on the 9th. That person was arrested at Santa Maria Avenue and 2nd, and that was at 5:50 p.m. We had 5 regular vehicle traffic collisions, 2 on the 12th, 1 at 3:20 p.m. It was a 2-vehicle and a pedestrian collision that involved moderate injury to the pedestrian. That was at 9th and Pismo. At 6 p.m. the same day on the 12th, we had a vehicle versus bicycle collision resulting in a minor injury collision to the cyclist. That was at Pecho Valley Road and Nokomis, is that right? Nokomis. On the 21st at 3:10 p.m., we had a 2-vehicle non-injury collision at 9th and Los Olivos. On the 25th, 11 p.m., solo vehicle into an animal, non-injury, Clark Valley Road at Blue Heron. And the 30th at 9:29 a.m., we had a solo vehicle collision into a fire hydrant, non-injury, 10th Street at Santa Isabel. That was it.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks again for the speed trailer that we've been seeing all around.
Awesome.
I guess as good a time as any. School ends next Thursday here in town, so we're going to have kids out and about when you're not used to them all over the place.
Absolutely.
Especially probably by the skate park. So, okay, thanks again for being here.
Yeah, appreciate thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, let's move into our general manager's report.
All right, thank you very much. I did want to go back and look a brief update on our capital projects and where we're at. We're getting painfully close to the end of both the 8th Street Upper Aquifer Well and the 16th Street Rehab projects. We believe we'll be able to fire up the 8th Street Upper Well in probably 2 weeks. Everything's there. We just have some certification and some other safety things we have to resolve before we can operate the well. Then we go into testing and we have to get our permit from the state to actually use the well and produce water into the system. So we still have some steps to go through, but it's basically completed. With the 16th Street tank, we're struggling with the contractor to get through the final punch list. The coatings are done. The tank looks great. We've had quite a few issues up there, unfortunately, but we're getting close to having that done. And then on the program C well, We did do a notice to proceed with our contractor, Pacific Coast Drilling. That one has a time frame of being completed in early November. So that'll be a while before I have real concrete news on how we're doing there. And then we, on the agenda tonight, I'm asking for you to approve an RFP to go out for design services for the pipeline. So we want to keep things moving. Margaret and I have been in touch with the state on our grant. It's a very aggressive schedule, so we're trying to keep things moving along so we can honor the schedule in that and receive the $1.5 million. Then I just have a couple of things on my GM report. I've talked to you before about the Countywide Water Action Team, call it CWAT. Within that, there's a desal working group that I'm a part of. We've met during the month of May. There's going to be a timeline and a request for agency participation coming up from the county. The county's paying for the first phase of the project. And so I'll be bringing that to you for your consideration here in the next, probably it might be August or September before we see that. But it's a no financial commitment, just something to look at in terms of we want to be considered in the scope of work for when it proceeds to a project. Then I wanted to recognize our water operator, Clint. I think I had him on one of mine recently because of his work anniversary, but he passed his Water Treatment 3 certification, which is a pretty big deal, is a big deal. And he's got the highest water treatment certification of anyone on our staff. So we appreciate Clint and the work he's doing. And as always, and it's in the news, the drought reminder. We're going to have to be looking at, even though we're not considered officially an urban water supplier because we have less than 3,000 connections, you know, the state is moving into a very heavy duty drought mode. And we will be coming back probably in July with some recommendations for, even though we're in stage 3, we haven't been actively enforcing many things because our per capita water use, if you look at the utilities department report, we're down around 60 gallons per person per day for this time of year is very low. And so I think it's more of a reminder, like I've had in my general manager report, to pay close attention to your water use, especially your outdoor water use. Check for leaks, water runoff, but we'll probably be asking people to limit their outdoor watering to a couple of days a week to be in sync with what the state's been asking of communities. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Okay, any questions from the board?
When that 8th Street Upper Aquifer Well finally is online, maybe that'd be a good time for a little open house. We've never been down the board to see the new utilities building and all of that kind of thing.
Definitely some things to show off.
Let's think about
that. Might have to put barbecue or something.
Yeah, let's think about that.
We want to ride in the new fire truck.
In the new fire truck, okay. Well.
And 16th Street contractor there. Have we used this contractor before?
No, we have not.
Okay. Okay, so we don't know if it's really a combination of the situation or just unfamiliarity.
It's been extremely tough. We've been using support services from ATS, Will Bellis and his wife Judy. They've been the best, you know, support service group in, you know, they did the dive inspection take, and they said this has probably been the roughest tank rehab project that they've witnessed.
Okay. Well, it's important to keep that tank in shape.
Right. So we're ensuring quality. It's just been hard.
Okay, let's move on to our utilities advisory committee report.
You know, I don't really have anything other than what you've been hearing. Budget we looked at, the bit of discussion about BMC issues. You'll hear about everything, I think, in the next couple of reports. Again, I would like to thank the water rate committee, the subcommittee that looked at that need to satisfy our revenue demands and keep up with the infrastructure that is required to keep this basin balanced. And I appreciate that effort and the fact that we were able to put that into place without a huge protest vote speaks to me that people are confident that we're doing the right thing, and I appreciate that.
Okay, Okay, thanks, Chuck. Let's move to the Finance Committee report.
We did the regular. We had a quorum this time, so we were able to approve the minutes for April and May. The committee recommended approval of the warrant register. They recommended to receive and file the financial reports, and recommended that we receive and file the monthly investment report, which I think that's our first one. And I think Julian put it together and did a fine job. So thanks for that. And my last comment is we have two openings on finance. So if there's anyone in the community that would be interested in serving, we would love to have you. So but that's my report.
Thanks. Thanks, Chris. Okay, does anybody have a director's announcement of district or community interest, reports on attendance at public events or anything like that? No. Okay, we don't have any previously asked questions.
No, we do not.
Does any board member want to pull a consent agenda item?
If I could jump in here, District Council Jeff Menry does want to speak to one of the consent items.
Thank you, President Forcoy, directors of the board. I just want to be very clear on your item. Let me make sure it is on consent agenda item. What is that, Ron? It's the JPA amendment with the IWMA. So just to be really clear, and I'd like to be transparent with your board and for members of the public, I do represent the San Luis Obispo Integrated Waste Management Authority. The JPA amendment that's before your board today, I did draft those changes. I don't believe that there's an actual conflict, but I like to make sure your board's aware of the fact that I did make those changes. The IWMA has waived all conflicts with your agency and other special districts. But if you have any questions, please let me know if there's any concerns. I would say now's the time to voice them. We can address it ahead of time or pull the item if there's significant issues. But I just want to be clear for the record and for before public comment and for your board.
And if I can add, we'll be bringing a conflict waiver officially back to the board in July to kind of formalize the conflict issue.
I appreciate that. And transparency is everything. And that speaks again to what Christine just mentioned, item J, the investment report, this, that whole thing that's been put together. That's a wonderful little piece of information for people to see just how we're doing. And it's all good. Thank you.
Yes. Council Minor, is anybody, again, does anybody, would anybody like to comment on item I or pull a consent item? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to move into public comment for items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you'd like to make a comment online, please raise your hand or come up to the podium in person. Nothing online.
Okay, I'll bring that back to the board for any further discussion and or a motion.
I'll go ahead and make a motion, to receive and file the reports and to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a resolution in there. Can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes. You start with me.
And just to confirm, starting with the motion and the second. Okay. Okay. Director Ohilski.
Yes.
Director Romick.
Yes.
And then the directors are...
Gatchell.
Okay, thank you. Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Vice President Sassena.
Yes.
And then President Forcroy.
Yes.
Oh, we feel much better now. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, it's a learning experience.
We're all about protocol.
Yeah. All right, our motion is adopted. Is there any closing comments from the board? Seeing none, just welcome to summer. We'll see everybody in July.
Well, what about Chuck's regular comment of drive carefully, look out for the kids.
School's out. School is out. You know, I'm out of touch. I'm very out of touch the past couple of months with the back and forth to Tehachapi and taking care of things. It did remind me when it was mentioned earlier that that was one of my favorite COVID rebound moments, is seeing the kids on bikes headed to school in the morning. And so now we're going to expect to see them at different times of day. So everybody beware. That's one of the wonderful things about our community, is that we should be able to drive slow enough for people to safely get around with their kids and kids on bikes. And yeah, happy summer.
Yeah, I was going to bring up the people helping people garage.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to bring that up, but I'll let
you. I say I'm out of touch, even though my car is full of things to drop off at the donation hour tomorrow.
Do you want to bring that up, Chuck? You probably have
yeah, more background than I do. At the community center tomorrow, starting at noon, running through the afternoon, and then again on Saturday earlier in the day. I'm not sure what time, probably a 9 a.m. start that day. People Helping People is having one of their annual rummage sales, all kinds of good stuff, fun stuff for your house, your yard. And if you don't know anything about People Helping People, you should, because they're one of the wonderful nonprofits that we have in this community. They do the annual Christmas event at the community center, and it'll be a good time.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone. Good night, goodbye.